Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready to go?
Yep.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Happy Easter, everyone. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And we have a great show for you today. And if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to break down the big fight for next weekend, Tyson Fury versus Dillian White. Who wins? We'll break everything down for you guys. But first, we're going to get started with the Showtime pay-per-view, Errol Spence, your Dennis Ugas, for not the undisputed champ, but for the three of the four belts, all right? Almost 40,000 people packed Jerry World in Dallas, Texas, and watched Errol Spence take apart Yordanis Ugas. The fight was stopped by the doctor in the 10th round. Ugas' eye was completely shut, couldn't see a thing. Ringside doctor actually stopped it. Spence looked good in this fight, man. No ring rust at all. Ugas looked good at times, but just like I said before the fight, man, if you listen to my prediction last week, I said that Spence is going to be the busier fighter. Ugas doesn't throw enough punches, number one, to keep Spence off him, and number two, to actually win the round. Spence is going to be throwing – Spence is just going to be busier. He'll win the rounds like that, and he did. So, Spence is a busy fighter. You got to get that figured out, man. You can't just counter him and wait for him to punch because he's throwing, you know, lots and lots of combinations. It's so difficult with a guy like him. Who comes forward, doesn't stop punching, punches to the body. He honestly, now listen, I'm going to make this comparison. He reminds me a lot of Julio Cesar Chavez in his prime. He really does because he goes after the body. He's pressure. He's relentless. He just comes forward. And I mean, that he does. He reminds me a lot of a Julio Cesar Chavez back in his prime. Obviously two different fighters. I know he's faster, he's more athletic. Yeah, I got all that, but I'm talking about just in general. That's kind of what he reminds me of. If somebody would ask me, describe him, you know, if I were to describe him to somebody, that's how I would do it. After the fight, Ugas was hospitalized with a broken orbital bone. Yeah, not good, man. Now listen, man, it wasn't all Spence in this. Ugas definitely had his moments. In the sixth, he caught Spence with an uppercut that knocked Spence's mouthpiece out. Now, Spence stumbled, then he was caught with a 1-2 that sent him against the ropes. This should have been called a knockdown because the ropes actually held this guy up, all right? But Lawrence Cole was the ref, and he's not a good one. He's not a good ref at all. Listen, when I know the ref's name during the fight because the announcers keep saying it over and over, you're not doing a good job. All right, and we always talk about Lawrence Cole is always involved in stuff like this. Everybody, he's always involved in stuff like this. I don't get it, man. After the fight, he called out Terrence Crawford. The fight is predicted to happen in the fall. Steve, just go back to that sixth round real quick. Let me talk about that real quick. He hit him with that uppercut. I was watching this again. Ugas hit him with that uppercut. I believe it was a left uppercut, if I'm not mistaken. Mouthpiece goes out. Spence looks like he's going to the mouthpiece, right? Almost like it was, like he was going toward the mouthpiece or whatever. But he actually, I think he stumbled. I think he didn't know where he was because he knows when the mouthpiece goes out, that's it. You know what I mean? So he knows. So I think he stumbled, and I think Ugas hit him with a 1-2. He goes flying to the ropes. Why did Ugas not take advantage at that point? He just laid back.
Well, I'm not sure if Ugas thought the ref was going to step in or even Spence thought the ref was going to step in because it looked like
Lawrence Cole was going to step in and stop the action there and have him get the mouthpiece back. It was a confusing moment, I think, for everyone involved. I think it's one of those moments where no one really knew what to do. And you know, like the referee didn't know. He kind of was saying to himself, do I step in or do I just wait? Like he was indecisive about what he wanted to do, Lawrence Cole. And again, I agree. I can't stand Lawrence Cole as a referee. He's horrible.
He's awful.
But I'm not sure if Ugas thought that the ref was going to call that a knockdown. But everyone just paused for a second, right? And
start throwing punches.
Yeah, it was just weird.
That's what you do. You throw punches until the ref stops you. You're punching.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. That's the rule. And that's what that's what the trainer tells you. That's what your coach, that's what you do in the gym. That's what everybody tells you. You keep throwing punches until somebody pulls you off of him.
Yeah.
That's the story. And then later on in the sixth, get Spence in trouble. There's you're supposed to wait for a lull in the action. That was not a lull in the action. Okay? That was not a lull. When they're mid-combination and they just, after they're done punching, you don't step in. That's not a lull, all right?
Yeah.
And this moron, he breaks him up. He goes and gets a mouthpiece, gives him about an extra 30, 45 seconds to recover. He makes it to the end of the round. Rest is history. Ruga's Combat Analysis says, can we talk about the Showtime sneaky BS scoring? I'm assuming because Steve Farhood had it all one way. Beeb, how did you have the fight scored?
I have to be honest. I gave Ugas three rounds in the fight. I gave him the first two rounds, and I gave him the sixth.
Okay.
To be fair, the first three rounds I thought were very close and could have gone either way. It's not impossible to only give Ugas one round in this fight because those three rounds were so close. I kind of think that round one was Ugas' round because I felt that he was landing the jab to the body more. But I could see – I don't think Steve Farhood's score was ridiculous because, again, it was not impossible to give Spence those first three rounds.
Right.
I just didn't think he won all three of them. But, again, they were very tight. And I thought Ugas got off to a good start. But, I think Spence really started stepping in. And a lot of the things I said Ugas would be doing in this fight, Spence was doing it. He was using a lot of subtle movement. He was the guy turning Ugas and stepping off to the side and stepping around Ugas and really creating those angles for his body punches. He really positioned himself beautifully in there. Because if you saw him, he stepped off to his right, and he would sneak that uppercut, that left uppercut between the high guard of Ugas, and he would come back around with the right hook. What Spence did was beautiful because he would sit low. So when Ugas was trying to throw that looping right hand, Spence started sitting down, and that punch was going over the top of Spence's head. And when I mentioned how Spence is real good at changing levels when he jabs his way in.
Yeah.
And that was another thing that he did well, because when he changed levels and he sat down, and he was jabbing, from the squatted position, Ugas couldn't keep him on the outside, right? And that's how Spence was able to get in, and he was the guy who was throwing that looping left hand around that high guard, right?
Yeah.
And he was able to force it down the middle when he wanted to, but the punch of the night for Spence was that looping left hand, because you saw how damaged that right eye of Ugas was as a result of that looping left hand. So I have to say, first three rounds were tight. They were kind of, uneventful, more or less feel-out rounds for both fighters. But once Spence got his rhythm going and shook off some of that ring rust, he was beautiful here. And I made a statement last week about how the power punch output went down significantly in the last couple of fights from Errol Spence. Last night was a whole different story. I think he landed something like 200 power punches last night. And
over 250, about 250 more punches almost, or 230, between 230 and 250.
He landed 40 I remember I talked about the statistics, how percentage-wise he went down, and he landed 40% of his power punches last night. 40.
They were all body shots. They were all close
all
in.
Body shots,
he was,
yeah.
You know, he just like they could have. He could have fought that in a phone booth. And Ugas is the guy, the taller guy, needs a little bit of distance, but when he comes in, he's got to shoot that uppercut. Problem is, you can't shoot that uppercut every shot. You know. Quick shout to Sly Tennessee's MOB. Thank you so much. He said, great fight. Spence's body work is frightening. It absolutely is. It absolutely is. But let me tell you this. Ugas one round. I completely agree with Farhood's scorecard. I gave him the sixth.
You can do that.
Let me tell you what happened is that, like, the first round, I really could have went to Ugas because, you know, he tagged him a couple of times at the end. I think the second round, he tagged him a couple of times at the end. But if you're looking at the entire round, Spence was way more active. Spence was doing better work. I think he was just more active. And I think that's the thing. It kind of reminded me of, you know, the Sugar Ray Leonard, the 10 seconds, you know, where as soon as he hears, then he starts fighting and then he tries to steal the round. And not that Ugas was doing that, but that's kind of what it reminded me of, because he'd have a flurry at the end of the round, but not enough to pull the round in his favor. That's where I was coming from it at. You know what I mean?
And I thought Ugas did some good work early with the body, but then once Spence started unleashing his body attack, you could tell Spence's punches were a lot harder than Ugas's. Well, at least they had a greater effect on Ugas than Ugas's punches had on Spence. You could tell. You could definitely tell.
Yeah.
You know? Definitely tell that.
Yeah. So it's crazy, man. I thought that, like I said, overall, Spence did an excellent job. He got caught for me. Some takeaways for me. I think Spence is relentless. His body work, the best in boxing right now. I don't know of anybody who goes to the body better than Spence right now. I don't think there is. That includes Canelo. I don't think anybody goes to the body better than Spence. Bottom line.
It's because of his positioning on the inside.
Oh, you know, for sure.
It's the way he gets low and sits down and the way he kind of pivots his body and twists into those shots. You know, he wasn't standing right in front of Spence. He wasn't squaring up. And when you don't square up and you kind of, you know, twist your body a little bit and, you know, you're not squared and your shoulders are you know, you're keeping that lead shoulder out in front, right?
Yeah.
That's how you get the leverage. Because when you're square like that, those shots become arm punches. Spence knows how to, you know, knows how to twist his hips into those shots and he knows how to keep that lead shoulder out in front, right, where he can really rip them shots, you know?
Yeah.
So he never squares his shoulders up, right?
No, and I tell you what, he gets so much torque from those legs and those hips when he digs into those shots. Even if you catch arm, it hurts. You know, even if they're blocked, it hurts. You know, it's one of those things, man. He's got that freakish kind of power inside. Some other takeaways from the fight, man, is Spence got hit quite a bit last night. He got hit quite a bit last night. And you know, he said after the fight, again, when I go back to the sixth round where he says, you know, I thought the ref was going to stop it. My mouthpiece came out, and I was going after him. He was buzzed. I don't care what he says. He looked buzzed. He took that step like he was buzzed. He looked punch drunk out there.
Yeah, he stumbled a little bit.
He absolutely stumbled. And then he got hit with that 1-2. And if Ugas would have jumped on him, he could have finished the fight. Terrence Crawford won't make that same mistake. If he gets, I mean, could you imagine Crawford in there at that moment? That would have been a done deal, man.
But I have to say, and maybe I'm being over the top here, you may disagree. Was that Spence's best performance in his career, in your opinion?
It might have been.
I feel like every time
he fights, you know.
I loved watching him operate on the inside because I was looking at those little subtle things. Like I said, you know, he would come in, go jab down there. Get the southpaw stance. I'm sorry. He would jab in and sit down and jab his way in. And then he was stepping in hard with that jab. And once he got there, he just twisted his body. Like, you know, like made sure that right shoulder was like on the outside of Ugas's, lead shoulder. And then he would just like sneak that left uppercut, you know, right through the guard, stepped around Ugas and created that angle for that left uppercut. And after he landed that left uppercut, then he would loop it around up top. He was like a surgeon in there, the way he was just putting those shots together. And it was all body positioning. You know, the little subtle things that I said Ugas would be doing, you know, the stepping around and the turning and the pivoting, that was all Spence last night. You know, his footwork was impeccable last night. It was impeccable.
All right, let me address this one from Alexander. He says, I think you guys are overrating Spence's power. Well, go stand in front of him. Let me know what you think. He says, we're talking about the same guy that took lightweight Mikey Garcia the distance without a single knockdown, right? All right, well, let me address this here. Big differences between Ugas and Garcia. Ugas was actually willing to fight. Garcia ran that entire fight. Go watch it. He never engaged. He was there, and he wanted to go the distance. And with a guy as skilled as Garcia, if he doesn't want to open up, you're not going to make him open up. Bottom line.
Well, Ugas went to the hospital last night with a broken orbital bone in his face and a broken rib and a broken nose, someone was saying as well. Kell Brook suffered a broken orbital bone as well. So,
yeah, he's got power, man.
Guy,
he's not playing,
this guy,
man.
If this guy's got 8-ounce gloves on and he's shattering people's faces.
He broke his face.
Oh, man. He's breaking people's faces with 8-ounce gloves on. Go up to him in a bar and tell him, hey, man, you can't punch. Then I want to see him fold you up like a lawn chair and throw you in the corner.
Yeah, I love how he said he doesn't have any power. Let me tell you what. I ain't taking
that.
Those body shots from Spence.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Doesn't have any power.
Ooh, what's the noise in the back?
Spence became a superhero last night, man. This guy got thrown from a car. Had a broken... had a fucking torn retina. This guy came back. This guy is a real-life Undertaker, man. He came back from the dead.
Did you see, they showed the car wreck again last night, and he's doing like 50 flips or whatever in that car. His shoe came off. It literally knocked him out of his shoes. The impact was so hard.
This guy should be in the Avengers right now. He's the new Black Panther, Errol Spence.
Yeah, I would say he was somebody. I don't know. Is he the new Black Panther?
Who do you want him to be?
I don't know. Maybe Captain America. He was in the Olympics.
Want to be Captain America?
Yeah, let him be Captain America.
Well, that's right, because the Falcon is Captain America right now. Captain America gave the Falcon the shield. Okay, he can be Captain America.
Yeah, he can be Captain America.
All right, we'll get him.
He can be Captain America even if Falcon didn't get the shield.
You know, you're right, Eric. You're right, Eric. I stand corrected. Good point, Eric. Eric 1, Beeb 0.
Hey, guys, if we got quite a few people watching now, man, get the likes up, man. Everybody start hitting the like button, you know?
Hit that like button.
Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
There you go. There you go. Tell them, Robert. Bailey Miller said Spence is a hype job. I don't know about that, man. I don't know about that. And somebody said, you know, this is boxing. You get hit because I made a comment that, you know, Spence got hit a lot. Listen, sometimes you get hit too much, no? Gamboa got hit pretty much last night.
Yeah.
Did you say this is boxing? No, he got hit too much, all right? There it is. So, yeah, man, it was I thought it was a good fight. I thought Ugas was competitive. I thought Ugas was really competitive. He did a good job. But, man, he wasn't going to beat Spence last night. So this sets up the big one, man. This is the Hearns-Leonard. This is Chavez-Taylor. This is the big one, son.
Is the fight bigger now than it would have been when we were clamoring for it last year? Because now it's going to be for all the marbles. It's going to be
yes.
This is going
because
to be undisputed.
It's
the fight's
for undisputed.
Now, right?
It's the biggest fight in boxing, heavyweight boxing, lightweight. But it's the biggest fight. Period. Name me a bigger fight. Give me a bigger fight.
I don't think there is one, except if Joshua beats Usyk in a rematch and you get Fury Joshua, but not in the United States.
That's bigger. Yeah, it's not
a bigger fight in the United States.
This is big worldwide. This is a worldwide fight. What
yeah,
do you
I
think?
Have to say so.
And I, you know what? I think they put it right back in Jerry World. Why not?
Why not? Yeah.
Open that stadium up. They're going to charge. They're going to charge for you. You're going to make money off it. And he's got to be getting a cut of that. You know? They got to be getting a cut of that. They're going to put it on Fox pay-per-view, I would imagine. You imagine?
There has never been an undisputed welterweight champion in the four-belt era.
No.
Never. In the four-belt era.
And you're talking about a guy who just came off being undisputed. Somebody, a guy with Crawford just came off being undisputed.
Imagine if Crawford. Let's map this out
okay,
here.
Okay, yeah, let's go down this road.
Imagine if Crawford becomes undisputed at welterweight, right? Then he goes up to 154 and fights the Charlo Castaño winner, undisputed in three weight classes. I'm about to fall off my chair.
Listen, Crawford's already a first ballot Hall of Famer no matter what.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you can't really dispute that. He's been undisputed. What? He's been undisputed twice, hasn't he? Is he two-time undisputed?
No, only one time.
Just the once?
Yeah.
I think it was, all right. So he's undisputed once. If he wins here, he'll be undisputed twice, and then to move up and fight the Charlo winner. Wow.
In the three belt era, there was only one fighter that was undisputed in two weight classes, and that was Evander Holyfield because he was undisputed at cruiser and undisputed at heavy, right?
Did he have all four belts? He had all four belts at heavy, didn't he? Or was there only three of them?
It was the WBO wasn't really recognized until like 2005.
Yeah.
As a major belt.
Right. So in the four belt era, there's never been a welterweight, undisputed welterweight champion. And you think about that, all the great welterweights that we've had over the years, and there's never been an undisputed. This is the biggest fight, period. It doesn't get any bigger. No way,
yeah.
Man. What
now,
do you,
does this,
go ahead.
Does this change your mind at all about how the Crawford Spence fight would go? A lot of people who picked Crawford are still riding with Crawford against Spence. I'm just curious to see if anyone's changed their mind that Spence could beat Crawford now.
Spence, listen, Spence can beat Crawford, no question. Crawford will beat Spence. In my opinion.
I'm still sticking with Crawford, yeah.
There's nothing I saw last night. Notorious, that's not me, by the way. This kid, man. There's nothing that changed my mind last night, put it that way. You know, Crawford's not going to sit there in front of him. Crawford's not going to sit there and he's going to have to work. Crawford's a defensive guy. Crawford can fight. Crawford can, you know, can back him up. Crawford can do anything. And that's where it's a good fight. I'm real curious to see, because I think Spence is going to come in his way. Spence is going to come in a lot of the same way he did last night. But I don't think that I'm real curious to see what Crawford does, right? I'm real curious to see what Crawford does and how Crawford gets, you know, gets into it. So are you picking Crawford for that one as well?
Yeah, I'm still sticking with Crawford.
It's interesting that you said you already come out with the odds.
Yeah, it's crazy because Spence is a minus 125 and Crawford's a plus 100. So Spence is the favorite. And I thought Crawford would be the favorite.
I did too. That's a pretty interesting thing, man. Little Penny says he's sticking with Spence. A lot of people sticking with Spence. A lot of people going with Crawford still. It's still a pick'em fight to me. MEZ Box said the fight will happen in Raiders Stadium, possibly. I don't know, though. I mean, I think if they put it in Vegas, it'll be in, you know, like the MGM or something like that, or like T-Mobile, and then they'll upcharge all the seats and everything like that. You know, why don't they put more fights? Well, I guess because they can't sell out the stadiums, but there are not more fights in stadiums, and I think it is because of the financial view. You know, if they can pack 20,000 in T-Mobile and get just as much as if they pack 50,000 in a stadium, you know, I don't know. There you go.
I guess I just think that Spence has a real giant fan base in Dallas, so why not just put it right back there? Because I don't know if the fight would sell out in Vegas. Like I know the fight would sell out in Dallas, I just don't know if it would sell out in Vegas.
Well, I'll tell you what. If it does, yeah, I don't know if it will sell out. Yeah, it definitely would sell out in Dallas, and I think that's really the place to put it. You know, can you imagine putting that in Dallas, possibly putting a Charlo on the undercard? You know, maybe. This depends. I mean, that's insane, too.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, like I said, man, if it does take place in Dallas, I think you got to bring in a Vegas referee. You got to get Lawrence Cole out of there. Can't have any of those guys because the bottom line is it's just not, they're just not prepared for these big type fights. It's not.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was a great fight last night. I think it was entertaining. I think, you know, Spence definitely needed a performance like that. You know, I think that was definitely something that really enhanced this Crawford fight because, again, if Spence just squeaked by majority decision or split decision, I think it would have put a damper on the Crawford fight just a little bit, and people wouldn't be as excited for the Crawford fight. But now that we know that Spence is fully back 100%, finally showed some, you know, shades of that Spence from the Kell Brook days. I'm not going to say he needed a knockout last night, but he definitely needed an impressive performance.
And he got it. And, I mean, it was impressive. I mean, it really was. Definitely impressive. And, I mean, you know, Jordanes Ugas is no pushover. You know, he's a great fighter, man. That's a top-tier fighter right there.
Will Ugas ever be the same again after that performance?
No. No, I don't think
so. He may
so.
Be done, right? He may be done.
I mean, he's still got fights in him. I mean, I guess we got to see how his eye, you know, what happens with his eye. Now, they said it doesn't need surgery, but they're going to re-examine it when it opens back up in a couple of days. Let that marinate a couple of days, all right?
And if the ref didn't stop that fight, he would have got stopped because he couldn't see out of that eye.
He was taking a pounding at the end. I mean, right around the eighth round, 8, 9, 10, he was taking a pounding. I mean, Spence did not let up. I mean, he just kept going relentless right after him and did not let that guy breathe. He couldn't breathe. He couldn't move. His legs were completely gone, and it was those body shots. I mean, you cannot take those body shots that long, that many. I don't know how many body shots he actually landed, but it had to be a ton. And he was coming right around those elbows. Ugas would put his arms down. He was trying to hold him up and hold him, you know, and crouch down. He was coming right around those elbows.
Because he was stepping off to the side of Ugas.
Giving him angles,
creating that punching angle for himself, you know. And that was beautiful. It was beautiful work, man. It was beautiful work.
It really was. It really was, man. So we're definitely looking forward to the Spence fight. Unreal. It was a good fight. You know, the undercard, not so great. But let's talk about the Isaac Cruz, Uriokas Gamboa fight. 10 rounds, lightweights. Cruz knocks out Gamboa in round 5. This fight was all Cruz from start to finish. I believe he knocked him down just about every round there was. What was it last night, B? Why was he getting hit flush with that left hand all night long? Did you notice that? Every combination that he got knocked down with started with that left hand. And it always seemed to hit him flush right there on the temple. Why his corner didn't tell him to keep his right hand up, I'll never know. Why his corner didn't stop the fight, I'll never know. You know, it's just like I don't get it, man. What were your thoughts on that fight?
I mean, it was an impressive performance. I think sometimes the feints have a lot to do with the openings being created, and I think that was the reason why, you know, he was able to land that left hand, because there's a little bit of a feint before each left hand. And if you can't time when that punch is coming out, because it, you know, there's either a feint being thrown, or there's like a little off speed pause before it's thrown, then it all comes down to timing, right? And when you can't time a guy, and the guy that you're fighting is fast as well, then that's a double whammy right there. So that's why I think the left hand was there all night, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I tell you what, man. And his, you know what, it's not even, I don't, you know what, I mean, his corner could have gave him all the right instructions, could have gave him everything. Honestly, wasn't going to matter.
No.
He's a shot fighter. and it is what it is. I mean, this guy is done. His reflexes are gone. His feet are gone. His movement's gone. His punch resistance gone. It's time to go. It's time to hang him up, man.
Well, if you're a commission, at some point you got to say, you know, we can't let you fight.
No. No commission's going to do that. Are you kidding me? The fact that, what was it, they let Tommy Morrison, when they said he had HIV, when he was HIV positive, the fact that he found a commission in the United States, what was it, Colorado or some Indian reservation or something like that, he was able to fight on? If somebody fought him, like, dude, somebody will sanction this kid. No question about it. But he's got to go. I mean, it's time for him to hang it up, man.
Legs are gone.
Shot fighter. Completely shot.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, I mean, Isaac Cruz looked good last night.
Yeah.
You got to consider who he looked good against. But listen, he did exactly what he was supposed to do.
Looked quick last night, too. Looked very fast.
Got rid of him. He did his job. That's what you're supposed to do with a fighter like that. He did what he was supposed to do, man. You can't knock that. After the fight, he called out Ryan Garcia. I think that's an excellent fight. That is an excellent, excellent fight.
Yeah, they got to make that fight.
You have to, right?
Yeah.
You got to make that fight.
Tough fight for Garcia, too, man.
That's tough fight for Garcia.
This kid is a little bulldog, man. He's a grinder.
You know, and Garcia's got to come up with something other than those hooks. I mean, he's got to come up with something other than those hooks. They worked last time, and he looked good last time. That's not going to work against Cruz, man. Cruz is too good.
Well, Cruz throws combinations. He's not a one-and-done type guy. Garcia is a one-and-done type guy, right? So if you're going to open up with that left hook, right, what do they say? You don't hook with a hooker.
Right.
Cruz got a good left hook himself.
Yeah, he does.
But the thing is his is a little bit tighter and more compact, right? So if I'm putting a wide, looping left hook versus a short, compact, crisp left hook, I'm going to take the short, compact, crisp left hook all day.
Yeah.
Over the right.
For sure.
So,
yeah, it was. So,
I think Cruz is more technically sound than Garcia. If I'm being honest, I would pick Cruz to beat Garcia.
Okay, I agree with you. I think that Garcia is more athletic.
Sure.
I think that Garcia gets away with his speed more on more occasions than he should.
Yeah.
But Cruz is the better fighter. He's the better technical fighter. And that, you know, a lot of times that gets you out of the jam of speed. That gets you out of the jam of power and all that other technique. Nothing beats technique. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Cruz is a young, in his prime type fighter, right?
Yeah.
Gave Tank Davis all he can handle. I had him narrowly losing that fight. A lot of people had that fight a draw, right? So if I'm being honest, Cruz hurts Garcia the way Campbell did, right? He's not going to let up. No. He's going to go in for the kill, and he's going to finish him, I believe. Because Cruz, you know, is a better finisher than Campbell, right? I think that's all the difference in the world. And I think he hits harder than Campbell as well. And I think he's faster on his feet than Campbell. I think he's stylistically, this is a bad matchup for Brian Garcia. I'd be a little surprised if they make this fight next.
I tell you, you know, I love Joe Goosen. But I think Garcia made a mistake by leaving Reynoso.
I 100% agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, it just... Reynoso's style, he knew how to work with Garcia, and not that Goosen does it. It was just, to me, it was a better fit. Now, obviously, it doesn't matter what it means to me. It's more about with him, but it's a better fit for me with Reynoso in his corner. Not to mention, you got Canelo there. You got all the other guy, you know, all the other fighters there or whatever. Listen, man, that's a tight group. You can learn so much from that group. When you're the only guy in the gym and you're the main guy at the gym, sometimes that doesn't always work, you know. But, I tell you, man, I it's a good fight. And somebody said that he's soft mentally. I'm talking about Garcia to handle the Reynosos. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that he, you know, I guess he thought he wasn't getting the attention he deserved over there. maybe that was the deal over there. But I don't know, man. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
All right. So let's talk about Cody Crowley versus Josecito Lopez, 10 rounds welterweight. Crowley beat Lopez by unanimous decision in the fight that I actually fell asleep watching. This was bad. It was just not good. I mean, it just wasn't, man. Did you watch this, and what were your thoughts on this, man?
What aggravates me a lot about Robert Garcia, and I'm probably going to take some heat for saying this, I just hate it when he's got a fighter that's getting beat up in there, and round after round he says, "You don't look good in there. Do you want me to stop it? Do you want me to stop it?" And at one point in this fight, he says to Lopez, "Oh, you can't win now. The only way you can win this fight is if you land a lucky punch." Right? He's sitting there saying this to him.
Did
right?
You need to stop it at that point.
Right?
Yeah.
But then he goes, "I don't know. You want me to stop it? I mean, you're not showing me nothing. You want me to stop it?" Robert, the guy is the Riverside Rocky, right? He's not going to tell you, "I don't want to fight anymore." He's not going to say, "Yes, stop it." Right? He's not going to do that. Stop the fucking fight yourself. Stop asking the fighter. And furthermore, he's on camera when you're asking him, "Do you want me to stop this fight?" And if he says yes, it makes him look bad in the public eye. Why don't you?
Nobody is going to say, "Yes, I want to stop the fight." No matter how bad they're taking a beating, nobody will look at you, look at his corner and say, "Yes, stop the fight." It will not happen. It does not happen.
Do what Mark Tibbs did in the Billy Joe Saunders Canelo fight. Just stop the fight.
That's it.
I'm stopping the fight. That's it. You know, you took years off this guy's career. Not that he was going to, you know, I think he should retire at this point with all due respect. But you caused this guy, right? You caused this guy unnecessary damage when you yourself knew he couldn't win the fight. And you said to him that he needs a lucky punch to win, but you still sent him out there. It reminds me when Manny Pacquiao was fighting Antonio Margarito. And I've said this to you before, we talked about this fight before. A piece of Margarito's eye, above his eye, was flapping around, right?
Right. And you remember those replays? You remember those replays when they used to do it in like uber slow, ultra slow-mo?
Yeah.
And you could just see it just flapping.
Flapping off. And he was asked at the end of the fight, "Why didn't you stop it?" You know what his answer was? "Oh, if I stopped it, Margarito would have killed me." Who gives a fuck? You are the trainer.
You got to look out for his interest, man.
It's your job to save the fighter from himself. And this just irritates the fuck out of me about Robert Garcia. Stop the fight. Don't ask the fighter. And also Lopez, you know, this guy's got so much heart. You know, he's had some good moments in his career. He had a great fight against Keith Thurman.
Had
a great victory over Victor Ortiz. Unfortunately, he just was never able to win a world title. And at this point, he probably won't. He's just fighting for the money right now. He's like closing in on 40.
He's
got to start thinking about life after boxing. He's got to think about his family. He's got to think about, you know, when it's all said and done, I want to be able to walk and talk and play with my kids and stuff like that. So at the end of the day, I would like to see him retire. And if he's ever in a situation like this again, I would like to see the corner stop the fight, because it's doing him no good to say, "Oh, I lost by 10 round unanimous decision," whatever. What was it, 10 rounds, I think it was?
Yeah, I think so.
It does him no good to say, "Oh, he lost by a 10-round unanimous decision." For what? He's getting beat up in there, you know? And is it me, or does Crowley look like Caleb Plant?
Crowley does look like Caleb Plant.
A lot like Caleb Plant,
he
right?
He does look yeah, he could be his brother, it looks like.
I don't know if he's ready. In my opinion, I don't think he's ready for maybe a guy in the top five, but I think he's ready for guys like in the top 10, top 15. What do you think about him and Conor Benn? How would that fight play out? Or do you think he's not ready for a Conor Benn?
I don't know that he's ready for Conor Benn right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Conor Benn is, Conor Ben's got it. You know, we'll talk about him in a minute. But I don't think he's ready. I don't think he's quite ready for that yet. I don't think he's quite ready for that yet. JC, I think, said it the best. He said about quitting and about, telling your corner, hey, that's just not an option. In Mexican culture, man, it ain't an option. Yeah. It just is what it is, you know.
But if I'm Lopez, I'm not going to work with Robert Garcia anymore after that performance. I'm just not.
No. We shouldn't be working with anybody after that performance.
Yeah.
You know, go work with, whatever the job sites are now. You know, go find yourself a regular job because, man, this ain't working for you anymore. This is what it is. Brandon Lee beat Zach Ochoa on the undercard, 100-92 and 99-91 twice, the unanimous decision. Beat Ole Milwaukee, friend of the show, beat Dan Carpentier, unanimous decision. What I understand was just not a good fight. Radza Butyev lost to Imantas Stanonis. Stanonis wins the regular WBA regular welterweight title. There you go. Now let's talk about Conor Benn here. Conor Benn versus Chris Van Heerden on DAZN. Conor Benn knocks out Van Heerden in the second round. Benn looked good here, but hopefully this is the end of the road, you know, and hopefully this is the end of the road for Van Heerden. He didn't look great. He took a lot of shots, some heavy shots, just not good, man. And we talked about this. We all knew this was going to happen. I didn't expect a second round knockout. I expected more of a fifth, sixth round knockout somewhere.
Yeah, mid round stoppage.
But I knew he was going to knock him out or stop him. I mean, it was a setup fight for Benn. And you don't want to see people take too much punishment. You know, that being said, even Eddie Hearn afterwards said, we got to up his competition here. And Benn can hit. Benn can fight. Benn can hit. I don't know where he goes from here. I don't know who you put him in front of now, you know, who they're going to put him in front of to give him those rounds or whatever that he needs. But it'll be interesting.
I like the Avanesian fight. I think that's a no-brainer at this point.
That's a great fight. That is a good fight.
They're looking for, like, kind of like a name fighter like a Kell Brook. And I don't hate the Kell Brook fight, but Kell Brook's asking for, like, $10 million, and he's not going to get $10 million.
Yeah, and Kell Brook, I mean, he's definitely on the dark side. He's looking for a big payday. Well, I thought him and
Khan.
Not Khan. Didn't he call out Khan or somebody
or
like
Chris
that?
Eubank.
Or yeah, Eubank.
Eubank.
I thought Eubank and Brook were gonna have him signed or something like that.
I hate that fight at 158. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Lil Penny says Brook or an AB fight. Adrian Broner. How about that?
But Eddie Hearn was saying that Avanesian doesn't have a name. It would be a good fight in terms of a learning experience for Benn. But he could fight other guys for more money, I guess he was saying. So it would make more sense to go in another direction, according to Eddie Hearn. But he didn't rule out the Avanesian fight. So
I getcha. I get it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, this is still a kid coming up. He's still developing.
Yeah.
You know, you want him to have fights like that Avanesian fight.
What about Stanionis? That would be a very tough fight for Benn, too, at this point.
I think it's too much for him right now.
Too much for him.
I think it's too much for him, yeah.
I wouldn't put him in there yet.
You go in there and you put him in there. You don't want to put him in there, guy that's going to, you know, just beat him. You know what I mean? Or, take his confidence. You want a guy like this, like Benn, when they're building him up to have a lot of confidence, you know? So, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. Avanesian fight makes sense to me. I see where Hearn's coming from. But again, man, you got to get these guys experience, because once they get to the top, it's going to be baptism by fire. There are no more easy fights at that point.
This guy's got a lot of potential. He has, you know, he should be a big name in the UK. So
sure.
It would just make more sense to move them properly, and there's no need to rush.
No, there's no need to rush at all. How many fights does he have? What is he, like, is it 15?
I can't remember how many fights he has, to be honest with you, but I'm not sure if he's quite had 20 yet.
I don't think he's got 20. I thought it was around 15, but I could be wrong.
Take a quick look. Oh, he's got 21 fights, actually. He has 21-0 with 14 knockouts. So, yeah, got some experience.
What is he again?
21-0 with 14 knockouts.
Wow, I didn't. Wow, okay.
Yeah. But you know, he's just most recently stepped up to the, you know, stepped up in class a little bit. He had 2020 fought Sebastian Formella, Samuel Vargas, Adrian Granados, Chris Algieri, now Chris Van Heerden. So he's kind of run the gauntlet at that, you know, that mid-level type of opponent. So
yeah, he needs to step it up a little bit then. But again, he's been fighting like mid-range guys. That's what I say.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't really bite off more than you could chew now. Now you have to start building on upper echelon guys.
Yeah, you don't want to keep him at this level too long either because you make him stale, you know?
Right, exactly. Oh, somebody mentioned Blair Cobb. Yeah, that, okay.
That's hilarious. That'd be a good fight.
Yeah, that would be awesome, man.
Blair Cobb.
All right, let's go to Robert, ringside Robert. He's waiting on the line here. Robert, what's the word?
Happy
Easter,
guys.
Eric, can I ask Robert a question real quick?
Go ahead.
Happy Easter, Robert. I'm sorry, what was this, Joe?
Can I ask Robert a quick question?
Robert, do you want to take a question from the Beeb?
Sure, why not?
Now, I have to ask you this. You've had a full week to reflect on this. And
oh,
I was talking to Mrs. Herrick, and she was – but I was talking to Mrs. Herrick. She said you were a little upset because you blew the allowance money on Murata last week. That's why you were talking the way you were talking.
Wait a minute. Eric,
now that you
Easter,
had a week to reflect.
Eric, this is Easter Sunday.
Now
want
that you've
to
had,
back
a,
to
that? Now that you've had a week to reflect, we want to apologize to Triple G and his family for those incendiary comments that you made last week.
Joe, absolutely not.
Wow.
On Easter, no less.
Can't
even get an apology
not,
out of you on Easter.
Not.
Cold-blooded.
Okay, I tried.
There you go. Now, let's get on to the real business. First of all, Errol Spence looked fantastic last night. Joe, I normally agree with your scorecards, but not in this case. It was the only round you could reasonably give Ugas was the sixth. So I totally agree with Eric on his scorecard.
Wow, Robbie took a dump all over your scorecard, B.
Yeah.
He just put you in your place.
Normally, Eric, I agree with Joe, but not in this case. Jeez, no,
fair enough, Robbie.
That was domination from start to finish, man. And for those idiots out there that don't think Errol Spence has power, go pay Ugas medical bills because after the swelling goes down, I can guarantee you he's going to need surgery. He'll be out for at least a year.
Yeah, they said that they didn't know if he was going to require surgery. They didn't think so, but they had to wait for the swelling to go down to reevaluate. I guess they're going to reevaluate in a couple of days.
I guarantee you when the swelling goes down, he's going to need surgery. Yep.
Wow.
So, first of all, Robbie, you're not a doctor, so you don't know what's going to happen when the swelling goes down. Please,
he's got a point there.
Joe, I have an eye condition, so when it comes to eyes, I pay attention.
Well, how many times have you gotten your orbital bone broken, Robbie?
First of all, never, and I never want it broken, okay?
Keep talking and you're going to get it broken. How's that?
Well, then you know what? You'd have to get on an airplane to do that. Are you willing to pay for the ticket?
He's going to gas up the private jet.
We got the Beeb jet over here. We need to pay. He didn't buy a ticket. I got the Beeb jet over here.
I do think that violates HR protocol, though.
I could be there at 10 o'clock tonight. Keep wising off.
Hey, if that's the case, I'll see you when you get here.
Wow. Robert said, I'm ready.
And I know where you live, too.
Yeah, anyway. Let's get on to the real thing. And, look, Spence looked fantastic. And, Eric, by the way, I agree with you on the Lopez fight. I also fell asleep during that fight.
It's awful.
That was awful. Matter of fact, everybody that lost on that pay-per-view undercard, except for Ugas, they all need to retire. You know,
yeah,
I'm talking about I'm talking about the four main fights. Everybody but Ugas, who lost, needs to leave the sport. Okay.
Man. Baby, I think you're muted.
Do you want to retire Ugas too?
No.
Do you want to retire Ugas, or what do you think?
No, he's got to recover and come back, and we'll see how he looks. And as far as Conor Benn is concerned, he's in a difficult spot because he's won 21 fights. He's got 14 knockouts. He's pretty much dominated everybody he's been in against. And he's in a difficult division. Who do you find who's going to give him the rounds he needs that the public will accept for him to be an acceptable fight? Cal Brook, he's outpriced himself. Amir Khan doesn't have anything left. Avanesian, that would be a good fight if you can get him in the ring. I wonder how much you'd have to pay him. And now remember, Van Heerden replaced Maurice Hooker. It was supposed to be Maurice Hooker to fight Ben this time. And I don't know if Ben would have been able to knock out Hooker in two rounds.
That would have been a better fight. That would have been a much better fight.
Yeah, well, maybe you can go back to that. You know, maybe you can go back to that because and try to redo that fight because Hooker has been a champion, so he's got championship experience. He's not that old. He might be the perfect person to give Conor Benn some rounds. What do you think?
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. You know, I the Hooker fight would have been a much better fight than what we saw last night. What do you think? Where do you think Van Heerden retires after this, Robert?
I think Chris does. I mean, Chris is a wonderful guy. Anybody that will give you a 2-hour interview
awesome.
And answer all your questions. I mean, I have nothing
He's
but
so
respect
great.
For the guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. No,
you know what? I don't want to see him take any more beating. I don't want to see him take a beating or get knocked out anymore.
No.
I mean, he's a bright guy too. That's the thing. Like when you talk to him, you know he's a bright guy. He's got more things than just this sport.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In his life. So, man, go enjoy your life, man, and do something
nice
else.
Nice
guy.
You know? You know what? He might make a good trainer for somebody if he wants to do that.
Yeah. Oh, he would absolutely make a great trainer.
Yeah, so...
What do you think of Van Heerden's comments before the fight, saying he didn't think much of Ben's boxing ability? He thought he was just a brawler that fought off of emotion.
Yeah,
well,
I mean, what's he going to say? You know, I mean, he's
always like that. I was kind of surprised by that, especially being in the U.K. Maybe that was his way of trying to pump himself up. I don't know, but... You know, even though Chris is a good guy, I knew that Ben was going to win the fight. I didn't think he was going to do that.
Yeah.
But I knew that Ben was going to win the fight. But, no, Conor Benn is in a difficult spot because you've got to find the right type of opponent that people will accept. Ben is in the same kind of spot that Virgil Ortiz is in. Virgil Ortiz is in the same kind of spot. 18 wins, 18 knockouts. He's destroyed everybody he's been in the ring with. They're kind of on similar paths. If you're the promoter, Eddie Hearn or Oscar De La Hoya, you've got to find the right kind of opponents to give these guys so they can continue developing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Before I get out of here, I like Tyson Fury to win the fight very easy next week. I think he knocks out Dillian White.
Yeah.
We got a pie bet on that one. Aaron Daly, I got your number, son.
Yeah.
Robert, let me ask you a question before you go.
Okay.
Has your opinion changed at all about the
Spence Crawford
fight? Yeah. After last night's performance?
Actually, I think it'll be much more competitive, but I still pick Crawford to win.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's really changed. If you were with Crawford before this fight, most people are staying with Crawford.
And, you know, I want to see Terrence Crawford actually sign a deal with PBC. And, you know, actually fight over there because, you know, that's where all the big name welterweights are. All the Danny
Garcia. That's where all the big boys are. Yep.
Danny Garcia is actually talking about moving to 154. I don't know if that's such a hot idea, but, you know, if you're Crawford, like you said earlier, if you beat Spence, you could, you know, you either stay at 147 and fight the PBC guys, or you go to 154 and fight the Cassano Charlo winner. Can you imagine Crawford being the undisputed at both 147 and 154? So, I mean, that would be awesome, man.
That'd be incredible, yeah.
Yeah, that would be something else, man. Something else.
All right, guys.
All right, Robert, I'm going to keep you on hold
Easter
here.
And we'll see you later.
All right, man.
Happy Easter,
to you
Robert.
Too. Dwayne asked a really good question. He said, do you think anyone from PBC will cross the street to fight Ben? Not that anyone is ducking him, but you know how interpromotional deals go. You know what? I don't. They're not at the point. Like, Ben's not that big of a star where you're going to have, like, cross-promotional TV and everything like that. If they want to cross over, if somebody from the PBC wanted to fight Ben, I think that's a fight that could easily happen.
Yeah.
I really do. I don't think that Ben's not that big of a star, even in England. He's not that big of a star where we can start talking about you're talking about Terrence Crawford. You're talking about, you know, Sean Porter and people like that. You know, Errol Spence, people like that. You know, when you talk about going into promotion, that's a huge deal. Somebody like Conor Ben, those fights happen all the time. You know, those fights happen more often than not. So, yeah, man, it's, you know, I think if anybody from PBC wanted to fight him, then they would fight him. I saw somebody in the chat mentioning Boots Ennis versus Conor Ben. That's a murder. You don't want that fight. If you were
Conor
Ben, you wouldn't even take that fight. There's no way.
You don't take that fight now.
No, I don't take any Boots Ennis fight. And by the way, where is Boots Ennis? When is he fighting again? You know, and if I'm PBC, are you frustrated if you're Boots Ennis? You got to be, right?
Got to be.
You got to be. You're not getting any shots. You know, people are passing you by left and right, but where do you go? Can't go to Top Rank. There's nobody there. Can't go anywhere else. All the belts are hung up now. You know?
A crazy situation.
It's a horrible situation for him. You know, the best thing that can happen to Boots is that somebody goes, you know, this unification happens, because as soon as this unification happens, those belts will be fractured next day, because whoever gets it, they're going to move up in weight, or the other guy, you know, the other guy doesn't have belts anyway, so they're going to move up in weight. Nobody's going to defend those belts for any length of time. It's too much money.
After Spence Crawford, there's no other fights down there for either guy.
Oh.
unless there's a rematch. Unless they do a fight series kind of type thing where they have like a
You know, and you know that, like, you know, now that Crawford if Crawford signs with the PBC, they'll treat him fair. You know, they're not gonna give him some crazy deal, you know, where, you know, you gotta have three rematches with the guy or whatever the case may be, and we're gonna do a 80-20 split. You know, it's not gonna be anything like that. It'll be fair, everybody'll be happy, and this fight will get done fairly quickly. I really do believe that.
What I was hearing was Crawford was going to sign with Pro Bellum, and Pro Bellum was going to kind of represent him in dealing with PBC.
Well, which is fine, too, because PBC, again, is not a promoter. So, you know, I mean, it doesn't, you know, they're not a promoter, so, you know, but they work with PBC. They're going to work with PBC.
Yeah.
You know, Richard Schaefer. So that's not a bad, you know, that's not a bad deal.
Not a bad situation.
No. 508. Georgie, I believe.
Yes, indeed, buddy. Yes, indeed. What's happening, people? How's the spirit?
Georgie.
Happy Easter, Georgie.
You too, guys. Everybody out there.
Rikers, son.
They doing an Easter egg hunt in Rikers right now, or what?
It's called Hide the Soap.
Yeah. We're just dropping eggs here, but let's move on to the fight real quick. Dude, as soon as the ass whipping, I hear you guys talking about the school cars, and at what time you guys threw the school cars away?
What
did
you say? I don't know.
At what time you guys threw the school cars away? When you guys threw the school cars away? Because after the sixth round, I'm like, this is the ass whipping.
I gave him one round. I gave Ugas the sixth round. That was it. I gave every other round to Spence.
that seems to be the round that everybody, you know, concurred. So,
well, he almost got knocked out.
Was,
so yeah,
that was
I mean,
the
that,
round,
you know.
But that was the round that Spence got knocked. He got hit.
Yeah.
I think he used a mouthpiece or something like that to that spin. What round was it what was the round that Ugas landed the right hand, the same arrow to the rope?
Six rounds.
Yeah, six
rounds.
So what I'm saying, what happened there on that moment, it just happened because, Errol said that he told the referee go to the action to stop. He was talking about his mouthpiece falling or something like that.
Yeah, it was an issue with the mouthpiece, and then he stopped, and he kind of thought the referee was going to stop the action and let him have the mouthpiece put back in his mouth. But
I don't think that's what happened. I think, like I said,
You think he was hurt.
I think he was hurt. I don't think he knew what
he
was doing.
I'm saying. But do you think that happened, what he said about the mouthpiece? That's pretty much my question.
No. No,
Eric doesn't believe him.
No, I don't believe it at all. Now, you go back and watch it and tell me if he wasn't buzzed.
I still think
regardless
of what he said,
the
mouthpiece falling
and the referee putting the mouthpiece back in, I don't know, he waited for the round to be over. Then he got a mental lapse there. He lost concentration, and he's coming out with that excuse. What the fuck happened there? Because that was the only moment that he was really in danger. That was the critical moment to fight.
Yeah,
everybody agreed on that round. Just because of what happened
when
that
was really hurt.
That's the round that was ass-whipping.
Yeah, that was the only round that he looked like he was really hurt, to be honest.
Yeah. And Ugas landed some good shots throughout the fight. I thought he landed some really solid shots. But that sixth round was the only round he looked hurt. But he landed a big, big shot, too, on him.
Listen. Ugas didn't land nothing majestic out there. He got Capo's probably shot, but this shit was far in between. He waited so long. And when he finally heard him, I found so weird that he didn't jump on him.
Yeah,
but
a lot of people
clearly,
said that. You know what?
Like, knock him. You know, he rock him.
He's
going to
watch
that
fight over and over again.
The referee didn't call shit. The referee didn't say nothing. In that moment in time in the whole fight, it was so weird. Like, when he finally got his shot, nothing happened. Like, he let him out of the hook. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
He may have kicked himself after watching that.
It was so weird, my dude. That was like the miracle coming out of the motherfucking sky. Your moment in time right there. And when you hit him with the right, you must felt that you hit him right. Everybody seen it. Dude go on the rock. He look a little fucked up. This is your change. You just staring at him. I got so pissed, bro.
Do you think?
I knew they're gonna be ass-whipping from now then. Huh?
Do you think the mafias were involved?
Nah, man. That was like another fucked up fucking. I guess he couldn't believe in himself. I don't know. He got shocked in the moment. He got star shocked. I guess the lights were too bright for him. I don't know what's going on in his mind, but everybody can tell that he lost the opportunity, the chance of a lifetime. Because if you got it like knocked like that, who knows what happened if you threw a couple combos on him? Who knows? He may not recover. You unified, doggy. You're on top of the world. And he just let that moment just pass by. I just found this so, I don't know, like nobody should really even talking about it. That the only thing that went right in the whole fight for him. The only moment. And he's just gone. Celebrate. Move on to the next one. I got to go. I haven't called in a while because I haven't had time, but I got my love for you guys. Beeps. This is
we'll
good
time.
On this chat. Eric, everybody support this channel, domain. I got to go. Bye.
All right, buddy.
All right. Take care, brother.
You got to go back. I guess you think he was in solitary?
No, they could have had him out in the yard getting the daily hour.
Yeah, that's true. That's
could
true.
Could have been on a daily hour.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Chandler M., this just happened during Georgie's Mangle conversation here. Chandler M. has challenged me to another pie bet. This makes two. We will pie bet on the Cambosos fight in Devin Haney. I will take Devin Haney. Chandler M. is going to take Cambosos again. All right, that is a pie bet, Beeb. He also wants to double down for, what, the April 30th? I believe it's the April 30th big fight on April 30th.
Shakur Stevenson
and Oscar Valdez. He will take Valdez. I will take Stevenson. And at the end of the day, Chandler M. will have two losses against me. I will only have one. I will now be 2-1 against Chandler M.
This is brutal.
This is brutal, right? It's bad. Bad. 760-760, you're live.
What's going on, fellas? Happy Easter. Happy Easter.
Where have you been, brother? I've been putting out an APB on you.
Oh, man, look, Eric, man, don't hang the phone up on me. I already know you ready to hang the phone up. Every time I get on the phone with you, it's a grand opening, grand closing, not today. Okay?
You don't want that smoke. You don't want that smoke.
Not today. Hey, B, man.
You already blocked
Robbie
Coach C's number on this line. I mean,
Coach C hasn't been seen since I laid the wood to him. You know what I mean? Coach C, he hasn't been seen again.
Man, look,
you know what?
You guys
I don't blame
made
him. I don't blame him.
You get tired of Coach C giving you that work
Coach
every
C.
week.
This is a made-up person, Coach C. You didn't give it to nobody. Coach C is made up.
I did. All right, Brian. Well, listen, man. Thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you calling in.
Oh, shit. Don't even play him like that.
You cool. Nah, you do me like that, though. Oh, my goodness, man. Hey, B, how many rounds did you give Uga?
I'm listening.
How many rounds
did you
give
three.
Uga?
He gave him three because he bet on
three?
Him.
He gave him three? I gave him three, and everyone's giving me shit because I gave him three rounds.
What did you give
you
him
bet on
three
him.
Rounds for the one round that Earl Spence dropped his mouthpiece or what? You gave him three rounds for the one?
He gave him a 10. He gave it a 10-6 round.
What rounds did you give him? I'm curious.
I gave him
what
one.
Round?
I gave him rounds 1, 2, and 6. I gave him rounds 1, 2, and 6.
One I could see. One
two
I could see.
6? Oh, you was rooting for Ugas. I know you was rooting for him because of that weigh-in show you had. I was like, oh, my. Hey, Eric, did you hear his weigh-in show?
I did. It wasn't as bad.
Like,
it wasn't as bad as when
man,
he rolled with
like,
Andy
man.
Ruiz.
Hey, they was on
in
there
that
like,
rematch.
Right there. They were
Brian,
tripping. They
you
was
had,
like,
you
hey,
had,
Earl
you had
Spence
Fury
here to have
Wilder
a
draw
like
up until the point Wilder got knocked out in the third fight. Stop.
Yeah, that was man.
You can't make fun of people's scorecards, man. After the display that you portrayed during those Wilder trilogy.
I just couldn't believe you gave Ugas more than that one round when Earl Spence lost his mouthpiece. I couldn't see it. I can't see it, man.
The first three rounds were close. Brian, you don't think the first three rounds were close?
If they was close, if it was a score of 99-98, Earl Spence was 99 every time, man. You tripping. He was edging him. He was more busier.
Who are you? Brian, let me ask you a question. Who are you rooting
round
for?
I give
who are you rooting
Ugas
for?
Is when he lost
Brian,
the
who are you rooting
That's
for?
It.
Brian, who are you rooting for?
Oh, definitely Earl, definitely.
Okay, then.
That's the truth.
So don't you think maybe you were a little biased in your scoring?
No, because I had like six people sitting around me scoring it the same way I was scoring it.
I picked,
so I knew I was
I
on
picked,
something.
I picked Gutierrez.
Not everybody knew who he was.
Okay, but listen. I picked Gutierrez over Stanionis, right? I had Stanionis mm-hmm. winning that fight clearly. I didn't. I only gave Gutierrez like three rounds. And Gutierrez lost by split decision. And I picked Gutierrez. So,
right.
I mean, I scored the fight like I scored the fight. Now,
yeah.
Is there a possibility when you pick a certain guy, if there's a swing run, you may give the, you may give this. But sometimes, you know, the opposite happens where you, where you, when you pick a guy, you go out of your way not to give him the swing run because you don't want to be accused of being biased too. So
it's just, I just think Errol Spence work rate, you know, was just the difference maker in that fight right there from the beginning to
the
end.
All right, take care, Brian. Thanks for calling, man. We appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Hopefully that's true. He hasn't called it in months.
He's playing me. Hey, but the work rate
was
the difference.
You know what's crazy about these Spence fans, though? They're mad. They're mad at people. If you gave Spence more than one round, you're getting shamed.
Coppinger gave him three rounds.
Hey, but hold on.
Oh, did he?
Hold on.
Yeah.
Since we on that, I will admit this.
Spence got some really diehard fans, man.
Listen.
Yeah, he does.
Because I got to say this. That mouthpiece.
He won the fight
Earl
by knockout. What difference does it matter
know,
if I gave him three
look,
rounds or not?
I know,
what?
But he dominated, Beeb. You was rooting. I know you was going for Ugas, man. You had money on the table. You was trying
even,
to talk me into putting the bet on Ugas.
Even if I was, Spence was on my card. Spence was winning the fight 6-3. He was
winning the fight six rounds to three.
That is not close.
It's okay.
Six rounds to three is not close.
Coming from the Wilder fan who
scored all three fights.
Hey, Beeb, don't expect any more calls from Brian anytime soon.
Hey, look, Beeb, he know he's like off. He's trying to come with this Wilder thing. That's his only comeback. But look, I will say this, okay?
What?
That thing that Errol Spence
Brian.
Be doing where he spit the mouthpiece out, man. Hold on, let me talk about this, man, because that thing, if Errol Spence
all right, man, we'll talk to you later,
Terrence
man.
Crawford,
thanks,
Terrence
Brian.
Terrence Crawford's going to finish.
Well, let me ask you this. Does this fight change your mind about a Crawford fight?
No, Crawford can still win. He still can win.
Who are you picking
against
that fight?
Errol Spence. But that shit is going to be – I'm going to definitely pick Terrence Crawford, but it's going to be – man, that, I could see it being a draw. I could see Terrence Crawford winning. I could see Errol Spence winning. That's going to be a tough fight, man. Those are some tough fighters. Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence, they tough, man, and they coming in there to hurt you. And you know something I was thinking about –
You didn't pick a winner.
With,
you said either guy could win. We know either guy could win. Put yourself out on a limb already.
I'm picking Terrence Crawford. Right. You know, because
so if you're picking
he just
Terrence
got
Crawford,
that.
Why are you so mad that I gave Ugas three rounds?
Because he didn't get no three rounds, man.
On two of the judges' scorecards, he won two. On two of the judges' scorecards, he won two rounds. Okay, so I
the
gave him one more round than the judges did. Excuse me?
Okay, well, I don't know. It didn't look like that to me and everybody
else. On two of the judges' scorecards, he got two rounds. I gave him one more round than the judges did. Now, I gotta go to jail for that? You're going to fine me?
I told you, man, it's okay, man. It's all right. You know, you seen what you seen, but that ain't what I seen, though, is what I'm saying. I just think the only round that he won was the one Errol Spence gave away.
I go back to the Wilder fights. You had all those fights even.
Man,
Kung Fu Jitsu says that Spence was ahead 7-2 on all three scorecards when the fight was stopped.
Okay,
so,
I had it 6-3.
Yeah.
So what's
you can make? Listen, like I said, you can make a case because again, Ugas would flurry toward the end with big shots toward the end of the round. But you gotta, while I took into consideration like the work rate of the whole round. I could see people saying, "Hey, that was a better round for Ugas or whatever because he landed the harder punches or whatever the case may be."
Yeah, but all the Spence fans want you to have it a shutout to Spence, or they're not happy.
Right.
I'm sorry. I mean, I'm the last person that's going to score a fight the wrong way. I mean, I'm a fair scorer, in my opinion. I've picked guys to win fights.
Man.
I picked
Missed you, Beeb.
I picked Murata to beat Golovkin. I only gave Morata two rounds in that fight.
You picked Morata to beat.
Yeah.
That's all right. That's all right.
You picked Wilder to beat Fury three times, and you're never gonna live it down.
Hey, Aaron,
I'm gonna
Aaron,
put that
look,
on your gravestone,
hey,
that you picked Wilder
one.
Three times.
Hey,
on your gravestone.
I'm gonna get him with this one.
On your gravestone.
I'm gonna get him
you know
with
what?
This one.
If I did your if I did your eulogy, you know what I would say? Brian would still look great, man, even though he picked Wilder to beat Fury three times. I would say that at your eulogy.
Oh.
You're never going to live that down.
Oh, that's not fair.
How about this? Because you always making me change. No, you don't make me do nothing, but you almost be talking me into changing my picks. Because I knew Earl Spence was going to win, but when I be listening to B, is so damn convincing. I'm like, man, shit, is B right or not? So let me ask you, who going to win between Dillian White and Tyson Fury?
Tyson Fury is going to knock out Dillian White.
Tyson Fury is going to win that fight easy. I don't know if he knocks him out. No, I think
Steve,
that,
you're not picking
yeah,
Dillian
I don't
White
think he
this.
Wins
no,
by
I'm
knockout,
Dillian White.
But he wins pretty easy.
Hey,
I think Tyson Fury is going to knock out Dillian
they
White.
Haven't been, you guys think it's weird that Dillian White and Eddie Hearn really ain't been, like, saying too much about this fight? It's been like
no, because that was part of their MO. That was part of their MO. They said they weren't going to promote the fight, or at least Dillian White said he wasn't going to do anything to promote the fight that wasn't in the contract. He sucks, and for that, I hope he gets knocked
Dang.
Out.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking it was because they were nervous because they don't want too many people to know.
Hey, they don't want anybody to know the fight's going on.
Yeah, but let me ask you this
yeah,
question,
don't
Brian.
Get out. You don't want nobody to see it.
Brian, let me ask you this question. Does it really matter what Dillian White does? They've already sold 93
usually, I would expect because Dillian White.
Let me get this question out. They sold 93,000 tickets already. They're probably going to sell a million pay-per-view buys over in the UK. They're probably going to sell maybe 200,000 buys over here. Does it really matter what Dillian White does?
No, it doesn't matter. However, Dillian White is – what fight has he ever been quiet for? You tell me that.
Okay, but by being quiet, he's only shooting himself in the foot because he keeps –
He never quiet.
He's only shooting himself in the foot because he's not promoting himself. The reason why he's quiet for this fight is because he knows. Well, let me finish, Brian, please. The only reason why he's being quiet for this fight is because if he knows if he starts talking shit to Tyson Fury, he's going to get embarrassed.
So that's what I'm saying. That's what I have the feeling, what you're saying, though. He don't want to say nothing because he don't want to get embarrassed. So that's why I'm like, is that why he's really quiet? Because it seemed like after all this waiting, all this campaigning for Dillian White, this the big fight, it seemed like it would be making noise over here, too. You know what I'm saying? Not just the UK. This would be over here, too, you know? But they're not really promoting it over here, obviously. You know, they putting on a little couple commercials on ESPN. That's about it.
Yeah, I haven't seen much
and
on this
Dillian
fight.
White ain't saying
really
nothing.
One thing I have to give Showtime and Fox credit for is they do a pretty good job promoting the fights. ESPN sucks at promoting boxing. They could give two shits about promoting boxing. All they care about is the UFC. Now, we always see these UFC
like
commercials, but we never see these boxing commercials.
Right. Because, I mean, Tyson Fury is a superstar. I mean, it would seem like they would have had to at least put him on some interviews on ESPN and something, man. They ain't been promoting this at all, man. And Dillian White
ain't saying nothing.
He ain't saying nothing. But
no.
But anyway,
ESPN
man,
sucks.
Hey.
That's why, Brian.
Thanks for having me, guys, man. I look forward to calling in next week. Eric, thanks for not hanging up on me.
All right, Brian, we'll catch you later. All right, let's go 513. That's Cincinnati, Beeb.
Cincinnati, man.
Yeah, that's where the best boxing fans come from. 513, you're live.
What's going on, gentlemen? How y'all doing?
Good, man. Who are we talking to?
This is Stephon Pryor, son of the legend Aaron Pryor. I heard y'all playing my father's outro music.
Oh, no way. Good
yes,
to have
sir.
You on the
yes,
show,
sir.
My man.
Likewise, likewise. This came from the fight on my way back to Cincinnati. That fight was very intriguing up there, man, very exciting. You know, Errol Spence did his thing. Terrence Crawford, they're going to wind up fighting it. I hope it'll be this year they fight each other.
I think they will. I think they will. Now that Terrence Crawford doesn't really have a promoter anymore, he left Bob Arum, I think that that fight's going to be made. I think it's going to be made pretty quick, too, to be honest with you.
Okay, okay. Where y'all based out of?
Cincinnati.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why we got Pryor's intro music, man. Yeah.
Yeah, we got it. Y'all got to hit me on y'all's show one day. Be a special guest.
Absolutely, we'll have you on the show. Absolutely.
Yeah, I came up with the trainer's belt for the WBC. If a fighter won a world title, they win a trainer belt also for the WBC. I came up with that idea, and I'm actually working with the WBC doing outreach in the communities against, you know, gun violence, against violence, you know, stuff like that. And he gave me, Mr. Mauricio Suleiman gave me opportunity. Huh?
Yeah, do me a favor. Now, talk about that, because I know you're involved in, like, the gun violence and stuff like that with Cincinnati. Tell me a little bit more about that project you had, or you have, actually.
Well, I have is Teaching Youth, Reaching Youth. That's my nonprofit organization. Teach your son not to kill my son. I taught my son not to kill your son. That's my campaign, and I go around to different communities and put up yard signs, you know, getting the message out. You know, the message is the key. You know, I had some parents call me. And they asked me, can I, you know, come and drop off some yard signs for their yard. And one of her son, you know, was a victim of gun violence. And she called me on the phone and asked me, you know, can I drop yard signs off? And I said, sure. She said, can you pray for me? I said, sure, let's pray right now. So prayed for over the phone. I felt the frequencies over the radio. I mean, not radio, but over the phone. So that's my campaign, is trying to help the community, you know, and try to help reduce some of this gun violence. And I'm doing our RC remote control boats for the youth outreach project in Kikes. So I'm starting that too.
Wow, very good, man. I know I've seen you on the news before. I've read some articles and everything like that. You know, that you do that kind of outreach and stuff like that. So that was, it's very exciting to have you on the show for sure, man.
I appreciate it. I was going through YouTube one day and I saw y'all. And I heard him play, y'all playing the Hawks. Outro, and I'm like, oh, let me get these numbers down. You know, I wrote your number down, and I heard a couple of interviews y'all been doing. I've been checking y'all out. That's good. That's good. Y'all doing
awesome. That. Awesome,
doing.
Man.
So,
awesome.
So my next project I'm gonna do is an amateur show with some boxing gyms, and I'm gonna talk to the WBC if they can donate total of 9 belts. We're going to do, like, WC Amateurs show, and you know, against gun violence and have people come out, you know.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to be in touch right after the show here. I've got your number and everything like that. I'm going to be in touch with you
okay.
to be a guest and everything. But I also – so we can promote these amateur shows and stuff like that and maybe get interviews and all that other good stuff, okay?
Oh, yeah. You can put me on the team. Put me on the team, guys.
Absolutely.
Put me in the game,
yeah,
coach.
Yeah, we're going to put you in. Put you in the game, coach.
Okay.
You got it, man. You're in.
Appreciate you. I'm the people's
right,
champ.
Man.
I'm the people's champ.
Yeah, you're our champ
nice
now. I'll tell you what.
I appreciate it.
All right, nice
talking
nice to you,
talking
too,
to y'all
man.
Too.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Very good, man. Son of a legend right there. Son of a legend, man.
That's beautiful.
That's crazy, man. Look at that. Aaron Pryor. Aaron Pryor's son, Stephon Pryor. Very good. And he does, man. He does a lot of outreach and stuff like that here in Cincinnati. I see him on the news from time to time. So he's always involved with community stuff. Does a great job here, man. It's great that he's listening. Great that he's called in. And any way we can help him out in anything he does, man. I mean,
he lives near you then.
Yeah, we're both in Cincinnati. How about that?
Wow, that's crazy.
Cowtown, baby.
How old is he?
What am I, his biographer? I don't know. You don't ask me how old they are. What are you matter with me?
You have to figure these things out, man.
What are you talking about? Like I'm writing a dude's biography or something. Like, how old is he? What is he like for dinner? You know, how do I know? Same. What's the matter
color,
with
man?
What's his favorite color? Favorite color.
Oh, you know, like he sounds very young. Like he sounds like a young guy.
Yeah. 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 He does a lot of good work here, man. A lot of good work.
When did his dad pass away? How many years ago? Was that like, 4 or 5 years ago?
I think it was something like that. It was something like that. I remember I was shocked. Yeah, I remember I was shocked when I heard it.
I was hurt when his dad passed
away. Yeah. You know, I remember, like I said, man, I remember when the Olympic trials, the Midwestern trials came through here, and that was when Rasheed Warren and Gary Russell were in it. And Aaron Pryor was there. And the one thing I remember is that we talked to Aaron Pryor, got autographs and everything like that from him. But he talked to us for about a good 20 minutes or so. And the show was over. They were actually calling him in the ring to come meet the amateur fighters, and they were going to give him some award or whatever. He talked to us for like 10 more minutes, just kind of ignored what was going on in the ring just so he could talk to us. And
a really nice guy.
Never forget that, man. It was just incredible.
I haven't heard anyone say anything negative about Aaron Pryor like that. Met him. Everyone said he was a sweetheart of a man, really nice guy.
Unbelievable guy. Yeah.
I was very sad when he passed away because I think he was like 60 or something when he passed away. He was young.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you could argue he was the best 140-pounder ever. You know, you could put Julio Cesar Chavez in there. I think Pryor would have beat Chavez, though.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, from what I heard from Pryor's manager, Chavez did not want to fight Pryor. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
I would have picked Pryor over Chavez too. He was a great fighter, man.
I always thought it was a mismatch. The Arguello fight was a mismatch against Pryor. I thought Pryor was just too big, too strong, too everything, man. He walked right through everybody.
Very explosive too, man.
He was crazy. And I mean, like, he gets knocked down. You know, I remember that one fight where he gets knocked down, does a back roll, jumps right back up, starts fighting again. I mean, he just couldn't hurt him. I mean, Tommy Hearns didn't want to fight him in the pros. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, he smashed him in the amateurs. It was
ridiculous. He earns in the amateurs. I remember that.
What, he had Howard Davis? What didn't he? He was a sparring partner for Howard Davis and got fired because he was starching him and didn't train him.
Yeah,
man.
He was a bad dude.
He was a man back then, man. Pure legend. All right. Upcoming fights. Well, how can we forget this, Beebe? So next week, the big fight, we'll talk about it here. Let's see if I can bring it up. See what we got on the schedule here. Indio, California on April 21st on DAZN, Joel Diaz Jr. versus Mercito Gesta, 10 rounds junior welterweights. Let's see here. And nothing until the 23rd, I believe. All right, April 23rd in London, ESPN pay-per-view. I forgot this fight was a pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot this fight was a pay-per-view, man. And we just spent $80 on this last fight, right?
We're so used to seeing these UK fights on DAZN usually, right?
Yeah.
Or ESPN Plus. And, I knew this was going to be a pay-per-view anyway.
Yeah. So Tyson Fury versus Dillian White, 12 rounds for Fury's WBC heavyweight title. Get a load of the undercard here. Tommy Fury is on the undercard. I don't know if he's on the pay-per-view portion, but he's on the undercard versus Daniel Bochansky, 6 rounds light heavyweights. Isaac Lowe versus Nick Ball, the co-main, 10 rounds featherweights. Anthony Kekese versus Jonathan Romero, 10 rounds junior lightweights. Yeah, okay. Not a great, not a stellar card at all. And that's pretty much the big fight for next weekend. B, we've kind of answered this question. Is there any way that Dillian White wins this fight?
You know, I can't see it. You know, I can't see it. I don't like to use the word impossible in boxing because as we've heard many times and we've seen many times, anything can happen in this sport. But Tyson Fury comes to fight.
You know, he never overlooks anybody. You could say what you want about his personality, his outside the ring antics. You know, he says one thing, does another, whatever. But when the bell rings and it's time to fight, Tyson Fury shows up. So to think that, you know, Tyson Fury is going to have an Andy Ruiz moment in this fight or a mental lapse Joshua had against Andy Ruiz, you know, I just don't see it happening. So
no.
I'm going to say Tyson Fury is going to just break him down. I think he's going to really pick him apart from the outside. And then on occasion, you know, he will step inside close to Dillian White. And I think he'll land some short uppercuts on the inside. I think he'll do some good body work against Dillian White. And when Dillian White wants to move his hands on the inside, I think Tyson Fury is going to grab him, lean him, and put his weight on him. He's going to wear him out. And Dillian White, as we've seen time and time again, as the fight goes on, he starts to fade. He starts to fade. And Tyson Fury, he may not be a body beautiful, right? But he's in phenomenal shape. This guy's got an engine that just doesn't quit.
Is he a functional 300 pounds?
You love when I – you love that. You love that. I remember Robbie used to, like, make fun of Tyson Fury's weight. When I used to – oh, Big Baby Miller.
Big Baby Miller, yeah.
Say, that's a functional 280, Robbie. It's a functional 280. But, yeah, like, Tyson Fury, he's a functional 275, baby. Definitely. So
I think so.
I wouldn't be surprised if Tyson Fury comes in a little bit lighter for this fight and maybe decides he's going to move a little bit more in this fight.
So do you? What is the over-under on this, Bede?
I haven't checked it. Let's see if we can pull that up.
You know, I mean, because I think we're all in agreement that Fury wins this fight. But does he win it via knockout? Does he win it via decision?
I think he's going to win. I think he's going to stop him. I would recommend just betting Fury with the stoppage proposition. I think you get pretty good odds on that. Fury?
Probably.
Yeah, I think you get good odds on that. I have to check the odds on this one for a while. All right, let me see. Let's pull these up. Fury's a -605.
Wow. That's big odds, man. What is
let me see.
The knockout and the over-under?
See if I can find all the props.
Stephen Pryor says he's 46.
Oh, he's 46?
46,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah, let me see what the odds are here. Tyson Fury is a -490. Dillian White is a +475. So I can find some props here. Okay, I'll click here so I can get the props. All right. Any prop bets here? Yeah, because I'm curious to see what the over-under is here.
I would imagine 8 rounds.
Maybe 9.5.
Maybe, and I would, I mean...
Let me see if I can find some prop bets here.
And Pryor passed away in 2016.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what everyone was saying. Fury White prop bets. But yeah, so Fury's just as big of a favorite as Spence was over Ugas.
Yeah, that's a big favorite right there.
Yeah.
I would bet. I think you're right on that. Because if you just bet Fury, you're not going to make any money. Fury with the stoppage, if you can find that prop bet, would probably give you better odds.
Fury,
anyway.
Oh wow, Fury by KO is a -155. Wow. Fury by decision is a +220. White by KO is a +425. White by decision is a +2000. The draw is a +2200. Now, if you bet Fury to win by KO in rounds 7 through 9, that's a +300. Fury by KO in rounds 4 to 6, that's a +450. Fury in 10 to 12. I'll tell you the truth. I like this Fury by KO in rounds 7 to 9. That's a good one.
There you go.
That's a good one. But I don't know. The Fury to win by KO at a -155, that's not bad either. It's not bad either.
Yeah, Robbie just told me, too, that pay-per-view is going to start around 3 o'clock because it's in London.
So yeah, don't forget that, because it's a, that's right, it's going to start a little bit earlier.
Most the main event will probably go off at around 6 o'clock. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to be conservative here. I would take Fury, just by stoppage with the -155. And that's not too bad. It's almost even money.
No, that's not bad at all.
Yeah. So that's the bet I'm recommending, Fury. I don't see an over-under here, though. Let me see if I can find an over-under.
We smack 3 p.m. 3 p.m. Eastern time. 3 p.m. Eastern time. Now, if you're in the U.K., obviously it's going to start whenever it starts over there. But I'm at 9.
Over-under. I can't find the over-under here.
That's all right. That's all right. We'll
I'll see if I can. I'll see if we can find it at some point.
We'll find it.
Sometimes
some
sometimes they don't put that up right away.
All right. Olaf the Mighty saying the over-under is 9.5 rounds. If that's the case, I would bet the under.
Like the under?
Yeah, I do.
I tell you,
I think White dies out pretty quick. I think White's looking for a payday here, and it wouldn't surprise me if White came in not the best shape. Be honest.
I tell you, I like that Fury by KO in round 7 through 9.
Yeah.
I like that at a +300.
I don't hate it. Yeah, I don't hate it. So, all right, let's talk about the news here, Beeb. Dan Kinahan. All right. This is the guy who, let me see if I could find this here. He owns MTK. He's one of the heads of the gang that was named in the Daniel Kinahan, a founder of boxing management company MTK Global. Kinahan has been pictured with the world heavyweight champion Tyson Fury and has attempted to organize fights for him, including a proposed all-British super fight with Anthony Joshua that never materialized. Why is this, news? Well, because they just sanctioned him. The United States froze his assets, including bank accounts, credit cards. He can't even fly on U.S. Airlines. The government put up a $5 million reward for his arrest and conviction, as well as rewards for $5 million for his father and his brother. The U.S. Ambassador to Ireland, Clara Cronin, said at a news conference in Dublin that the Department of Treasury is offering a $5 million for information that will lead to the financial destruction of the Kinahan crime family or the arrest and conviction of its leaders. Speaking at a news conference in Dublin, Irish Police Commissioner Drew Harris said, what was implicit here before and what some of the individuals could choose to ignore is absolutely explicit. If you deal with individuals who are sanctioned as part of the Kinahan organized crime gang, you are dealing with criminals engaged in drug trafficking, and indeed we have seen here, very tragically in Ireland and also in Spain, murderous feuds who will resort to vicious actions up and to including murder. Beeb, this is important because Dan Kinahan owns MTK. MTK, of course, is right there with Tyson Fury and Frank Warren.
Well, this is what I've read, that he was one of the founding members years ago, but they've distanced themselves from him for at least the last 3 years. Bobby Yellen is the new CEO over there, or the president over there, and he's saying that they haven't dealt with Kinahan for I think it was either 3 or 4 years or something like that. They haven't dealt with him. He hasn't been involved in the operation.
Doesn't he own it, though?
No, he was one of the founding members, they say, and he helped fund it in the beginning. And he's no longer part of them, and he hasn't been associated with them for the last 3 years. What was happening?
I don't buy it.
Yeah, but what was happening was Bob Arum was actually paying Kinahan
$1 million a fight.
Consultation money.
Right.
Yeah.
So that just blows out the theory that he hasn't been involved. Yeah, in fact, Top Rank paid $4 million to Kinahan's company. Top Rank paid the money to a company called Hoopo Sports?
Yeah, for consultation.
Is registered in Dubai. All right.
Yeah.
From what Arum said, they were consulting fees owed by Kinahan.
Correct.
Owed to Kinahan. The deals for the Fury fights were put together by Harrison Whitman, Top Rank's former general counsel, who is now the chief strategy and legal officer of a new boxing promotionally company called ProBellum.
Yeah.
All right. So right there, I mean, he's clearly involved.
Yeah, something smells fishy.
That's because it is fishy. He's a criminal.
He's a criminal, yes.
Sure.
Without question.
what MTK is trying to say, and I don't know how successful it'll be at, you know, proving this. They're saying that he hasn't been involved in their operation for quite some time, roughly three years or so. I don't know how accurate that is. So everyone's trying to distance themselves from Kinahan. And I guess there's also some quotes. Kevin Ioli wrote an article, and he had some quotes in there of a conversation that Bob Arum and Kinahan had, where Kinahan said, I used to do a lot of bad things. I'm not like that anymore, whatever. And Bob Arum was basically saying he's not that same person anymore, whatever. Bob's had a shady passing before. You know,
well,
he's already bribed the IBF. You know, he's already been raided by the feds. So I wouldn't put this past Bob. You know, because this is Bob is no angel, right? So as long as Bob can make money, he doesn't, you know, he'll do whatever he has to do. So
that's the thing, man. Like, you know, this guy is tied up in it, you know, and they've got to does Fury leave MTK because of this?
Yeah, that's the big question. Interestingly enough, I believe Mike
really, you don't want these people coming down on your bank account.
Well, Mike and Michael Conlon and some of the other fighters had asked for MTK Global to take their names off their website.
Yeah.
So I think eventually what's going to happen MTK, a lot of people just may cut them loose, right? Bob Arum's already done that, right? He doesn't want to be affiliated with MTK Global or Pro Bellum. But I think Richard Schaefer put a statement out there about Pro Bellum, saying that they have nothing to do with Daniel Kinahan. Where Daniel Kinahan's sanctioned, but Pro Bellum and MTK Global are not sanctioned. So we're able to operate and do business in the United States or anywhere else.
Which brings me back to my question, though. Why were you paying him?
Yeah, why was Bob Arum paying
him? If that's the case. And, you know, MTK is paying him. You know, MTK is paying him. I mean,
yeah, it's hard to believe that there wasn't a connection there. I'm with you, brother.
Clearly is a connection, yeah.
I'm with you, brother.
What I worry about in this, you know, you start talking about Fury, you start talking about Conlon, and all the other guys who were, you know, in-house on this whole thing. You're working for a mobster. When does you, you know, and they just put sanctions. Listen, let me tell you what. They put sanctions on countries. You know, now they're putting sanctions on Dan Kinahan. That's a big deal.
He's got a bounty on his head, too. They want to arrest him.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, $5 million?
$5 million, yeah. And, you know,
crazy.
Matthew Macklin actually started MTK Global with the help of Daniel Kinahan. They did it together.
Yeah.
And then as time went on, supposedly they phased him out, or they disassociated themselves with him. Once again, I find that hard to believe that they were not indirectly involved with him in some way, shape, form, or fashion. I'm with you on that.
Listen,
why would Bob Arum still keep him around and pay him consultation fees?
Consultation for what?
For what?
For what?
You know what I mean?
You're gonna, just this company in Dubai, you want to pay consultation fees to. Stop it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, let's see if Tyson Fury, when he goes into the ring next week, or this week, I should say, on Saturday, if he has that MTK Global logo on his robe or on his trunks.
Yeah. I mean.
See what happens.
It's a big deal, man. It's a big deal.
Tyson Fury hasn't said anything. And, you know, Kevin Ioli came out and he complained that no one was able to ask questions about that at the conference call with Fury White.
For sure.
And he was upset about it.
Why?
Well, he was upset because he wasn't allowed to ask questions about that.
So what? What are they going to know? Tyson Fury is going to say the same thing. I don't know anything about it. They're all going to say, I don't know anything about it. It's not my business. I didn't sanction him.
That's what I'm saying. So, like,
what are you going to ask?
Kevin Ioli was... He's doing a little bit of virtue signaling, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, really, like, what are you going to ask him?
What is Tyson Fury going to say? Like, again, you know?
You're going to get a no comment. So what does it matter what you ask? You know, he's not going to cop to anything. Even if he knows something, what do you think he's going to tell you at a press conference?
That's what I'm saying. Like, wouldn't you be more interested in asking questions about the fight instead of this shit?
Right.
And okay, so what are you going to do, Kevin Ioli? Like, what are you going to, like, are you going to be fucking underdog? Are you going to fucking solve the problem?
He's going to be the one getting the $5 million is what he wants.
Like, what are you going to do? So you ask Tyson Fury, like, what the fuck is Tyson Fury going to say? Like, how involved was Tyson Fury himself in this?
Yeah.
You know
you give Kevin Ioli $5 million, you'll never see him again. You know, I'll tell you what, he's retiring.
All of a sudden, he cares about boxing.
Right.
Fucking shining, the shining knight.
This is the beacon. The beacon of hope.
Beacon of hope, yeah.
Other news, man. Joseph Diaz named in a civil lawsuit regarding alleged unsolicited sexting incidents. B, they got to put these phones down, son. You gotta stop
snapping
these pictures.
You got these girls on Snapchat.
You
gotta
blame it on the chicks now. What's wrong with you?
This is what I'm trying to say. You got these girls on Snapchat putting these pictures up there, right? But you don't know how old these girls are. These girls could be friggin' 17 years old.
Right.
And with all the makeup and stuff they put on and the way they're dressed, and now they kind of doctor up. You know how they do that? They have that software where they can doctor up their...
Those filters.
Those filters and stuff.
Yeah.
Got to be careful. That's one thing I don't do. People, there's some of these women out there, they'll ask you to send them pictures and stuff. No. No way. I don't mess with the Snapchat girls, man.
Snapchat girls. According to the complaint, the alleged victim claims to have received a message from Diaz on September 3rd through social media Snapchat. The complaint, who is a younger sister of a woman who used to date the boxer, did not receive the message until the next morning because her parents routinely held the minor children's cell phones in the house each evening. Wow. Let me see. Yeah, it says the complaint seeks liquidated damages in the amount. Now, this was already a criminal lawsuit that was dismissed, and now it's a civil lawsuit, so just keep that in mind, too. The complaint seeks liquidated damages in the amount of $150,000.
This is a shakedown, Eric.
Dime, son.
This is a shakedown.
Compensation for damages a plaintiff suffered for the unsolicited explicit photograph sent to her by the defendant in an attempt to entice or coerce her into engaging in sexual acts.
Shakedown.
This was reported by Boxing Scene. Shakedown. So he sent her his photo to shake her down.
No, what's happening is he was tricked.
How did his photo end up on her phone?
Probably got it from the ex-girlfriend, I think, to shake
her sister?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
This is a shakedown.
Sounds real reasonable.
This is a shakedown.
Yeah. Let me send some nude photos. Yeah.
We don't know if it was nude now. Stop trying to dress this up now.
What else? Explicit photos. That implies nude, no?
No.
Explicit. You give me it. What is an explicit photo? Come on, you're on browsers 24/7. You know what explicit means.
Sexually suggestive, maybe?
Explicit. That's what the document says.
doesn't say nude photos.
It says explicit photos.
Oh. How would you define the word explicit?
I told you how I define the word explicit. He's going to go Google it now. What does explicit mean? Fight doctor says police refused to file charges. Yeah, it was dropped. I mean, there was no criminal charges, so that's why they came
explicit
up with a...
Explicit means showing or talking about sex or violence in a very detailed way. Clear and exact.
Yeah, with a picture. So good luck with that. All right, so I guess he'll have his day in court. I don't know.
We'll have Beeb in his...
And she was underage, you know.
She was like 17, right?
Wow. I don't know. I don't know how old she was.
You got to be careful, man. Got to be careful. That's all I can say.
Andy Ruiz has had a busy week this week. First, he was supposed to face Tyrone Spong.
Which was a ridiculous fight.
Right? And if you don't know Tyrone Spong, he's a heck of a kickboxer. not so much in boxing, but definitely a kickboxer. That was supposed to take place on Triller. That got mixed for who knows, who cares what reason it got
mixed. He failed the PED test, too.
Who did?
Funk.
When I said who, I'm like, what are you talking about? I know Garcia didn't fail it. So now he's going to face Louis Ortiz late in the summer. I don't mind the fight.
Better than the Spong fight.
It's definitely better than the Spong fight. I fear that it's going to be on pay-per-view, though.
It will be.
Come on with that.
I can't see it any other way.
Steven Espinoza says there are plans in the work for Adrian Broner. Beeb, is this a good idea?
Well, poor Adrian Broner has to fight. I mean, he needs the money. What's he going to do? He's probably having some issues with cash.
Well, I don't know that.
I suspect it. I don't know it, but I suspect it. I mean, I don't. He's got all those kids. He's not really responsible. I think he fights for the cash.
Kind of reaching, buddy. I think that's kind of reaching.
So like you did with Jojo Diaz. So like we did with Jojo Diaz. You wanna
listen? I don't see Broner sending out nude pics to anybody.
Oh, he's made sex tapes with people.
Totally different thing. Totally different thing.
Oh God.
Completely different. That's apples and oranges.
Oh, okay.
Apples and oranges.
Guy's making pornos.
That's a strong term for it. Love videos. I mean, it's, you know.
Now, were the videos he was involved in, would you consider them explicit?
I would, yes. From what I've heard, those videos are explicit.
Those are explicit, right?
Those would be explicit videos,
those
yes.
Those are X-rated, maybe?
I don't know that a rating was put on them.
Oh, God.
Omar Rodriguez in the chat says pornography is art. You get a thumbs up from the Beeb. I think that Adrian Broner, I mean, everybody knows, I mean, he's on the dark side of his career, no question about it. He's not in his prime anymore. It's fine. I think that boxing settles that guy down. You know what I mean? I think that there's something about boxing that settles him down. I don't think it's a bad idea. I think it just depends on who he fights. So that's kind of where I am with that. What about you? What do you think of this? What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, at least it keeps him out of trouble, right? I'd rather see him in the boxing ring than in the club, right?
I'd rather see him in the boxing ring than in court. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. That was so horrible. Seeing him in front of that judge and he was like basically saying he had no money, so like I have to fight so I can pay my fines or whatever.
Oh, that judge just got, oh, man, she got mad.
Do you think he's broke?
No. I don't. I don't think he is. I really don't. I don't think he is.
No?
No.
You think he's just saying that he has no money because he's just trying to, like, get out of paying people?
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean.
You think that's all up front?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's, like, a billionaire or anything. I don't think he's got, like, you know, I think he has enough to live. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think it's like crazy money where he's going to go out and buy like, you know, 50 cars or anything. But I think he's definitely got money to live on. You know what I mean? He's not panhandling or anything like that. He's got money, man.
I wouldn't go that far. He's not panhandling, no.
Lil Penny hit it right on the head. Boxing solves a lot of problems. He's right. He's right. Fight Doctor says Broner is broke. Again, man, we don't have access to his financials. I don't know that. I mean, he's from Cincinnati. We're all doing pretty well over here. You know what I mean? It's capital, baby. How are we living over here?
Oh, God.
All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see you guys next week.